This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Isoborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
What a game. Finally get to say it. The Jags win, and we're taking your calls on it. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL1. I am Jay Gray, joined here with Marco Coleman, and feels good to have a post-game show and a scoreboard show with a win to talk about, right?
Some positives, you know. So we hopefully the callers will call in about some cheerful thoughts time.
I know we're going to get at least one call that says, why did they win? They're not getting the number one pick now. I know we're going to get at least one call about that.
There's still a lot of games left, and, you know, if they can – what is it? If Tampa has – they have three wins. The Jags have three wins.
You think a lot of tiebreakers.
Yeah, it would be some crazy stuff. Yeah, man, trying to figure that one out.
Well, that's, you know, it's an interesting question. A lot of guys, I'm sure, are out there saying, I'm glad we got the win, but no more. I've already gotten a tweet already saying, I'm glad we got that first win. Good for Gus Bradley getting win, but no more.
Well, I mean, it does. I think there's enough good quarterbacks coming out of college this year to choose from. I don't think anyone is so much better to be like, we got to be in first place to get this particular guy. So, being first or second, I would say even third. In the draft, you know, as far as picking in the first round, as picking a quarterback, I don't think they separate themselves that much to be that much of a difference.
I think the win was huge, especially without Justin Blackmon. We haven't been able to talk about that at all. Him gone for the rest of the year and to still come out and get a win. Now, the offense didn't look great. They were helped out a lot by the defense, getting turnovers, getting short fields. That's what really helped. And we've been talking about it a lot. When you're in that red zone, why aren't they giving it to Maurice Jones-Drew? They showed they were giving it to Maurice Jones-Drew that first series on.
It was all about Maurice Jones-Drew. I think they've finally woken up to the fact that the best offensive player they have is MJD, especially with Blackmon out. I think even with him on the field, you still have to have MJD a focal point, because what happens is, you know, the Tennessee Titans now, they have to put 8-9 in a box. That gives a better opportunity for the wide receivers now to get the type of coverage to where they can get open, get that separation. You know, but if MJD is not a threat, you know, of course, it's a little bit tougher sledding with these wide receivers being able to get open.
Well, I'd like to have seen him get the ball a little bit more, some more chunking of the yards there in the fourth quarter, because it got a little dicey there, got a little worried for some time. I mean, with the Jaguars only up two, then they were driving. And then Blackmon coming through, getting the touchdown that basically sealed the deal, and it just proved how big some of those defensive plays. I mean, you get the safety, and then you get the turnover after that, the run back for a touchdown. That was the difference in the game.
It was all about the defense. And like I said, and you can't say enough about the sudden change. You know, the two times that Henny put them in bad situations with the interceptions, they were able to hold up. I figured causing a fumble right on it. Well, I don't know if much they caused it, but they recovered the fumble on the very first play on one interception. The next one, they held the Titans to a field goal. That was huge, because you figure that's 14 points, man. That could have changed the game, or just some form of a score outside of just the field goal.
Four takeaways on the day. That was huge. The defense, I think, won this one more than the offense, and I think they kind of won despite Chad Henne throwing some picks. It was really the defense that was the star of the show this week.
I have to agree with you, for sure.
Taking your calls, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Let's start it off with Jonathan in Tallahassee. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, Jonathan.
Tell you what, it goes without saying, defense wins championships for you and games for you.
Exactly. I mean, there was defense set the tone early. Towards the end, they gave up some stuff, but coming through again with the Will Blackmon fumble recovery for a touchdown and the safety. I mean, if you don't get pressure on the quarterback, there's no reason to hold you, so that's on the defense as well.
Well, yeah, definitely. And it was, you know, they had to bring the secondary. I think the defensive line did okay against the run, you know, because Chris Johnson was on. You know, he wasn't a factor at all.
Defense played really well today. I'd like to see them get a little bit more pressure, but overall, I thought they played really well today. Offense still needs a little bit more work, but if we could get more touchdowns than field goals and less punts, I think we'll be all right.
That's the key to victory, getting less punts, more scores, and scoring
getting
touchdowns.
In the end zone.
Josh Scobie, you got to hand it to him, too. Hasn't had much work. He didn't know if the leg was going to be a little bit rusty, but he came through as well.
He was ready to go. Some big-time boots that he had. That was major. Big time.
355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to the Bronx and Bernardo. Bernardo, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, it's awesome, man. I'm so happy we got off the side. It looked like they were really, really happy. It was just an incredible victory. And I wanted to say, I heard a rumor that Marco's a breakdancer. I'm from the Rocksteady crew. We need to get him out there, man. That guy is awesome.
Man, I come up to New York and tear something up. Put the boogaloo on them all. Yeah.
You get at least one call a show about you breakdancing. There's some hidden YouTube videos out there you dancing around.
Somebody caught me at probably the club back in my younger days or something, man, just clearing out the floor and just tearing it up.
That's something you do after a win. You get the breakdancing going.
It was definitely a long time ago.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. We're taking your calls on the big Jaguars win, getting the first win of the year. First win under Coach Gus Bradley, and you know he's got to be pumped. I mean, to go through 8 games, then the bye week, no wins, getting blown out every time, then to come out and have your team play so good for you to get that first win, just got to be great for him. He's probably going to sleep a lot better tonight.
It's been a while, so I'm sure. You know, the way they played, too, you saw the aggressiveness, the physicality, the things that he was a little, you know, in previous games, a little upset about. They corrected those things over the bye week. So you got to feel pleased as the coach's guy for your players to go out and go about the work that have you prescribed it to be done. So I'm sure he's real pleased.
I mean, and that's the way things are supposed to go. You're supposed to have the bye week, extra time to prepare, guys getting healthy, guys getting rested. You're supposed to come out and win those games. And Coach Gus Bradley, undefeated after a bye week.
Yeah, good job by the coaches.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. The only big question mark at the end, though, was Paul Posluszny. Maybe a little bit hurt. Wanted to come back in the game. Apparently the coaches wouldn't let him hide in his helmet, but he wanted to be out there for that last series. That shows a defensive leader right there. I think he's going to be a good leader for a long time, but just the want to be back out there and having the coaches basically hide your pads so you don't go back in, that says a lot about you.
Yeah, that's a linebacker for you. That's what they do.
Let's go to John in Avondale. John, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. I just want to make a quick comment because I don't believe I've heard it mentioned yet. It was great listening to him on the radio today in the garage while I was getting the honeydews done. But what I heard is no stupid penalties at clutch periods in the game. No personal fouls to sustain drives for the opposition. So that was a delight, finally. Thanks. Take it off the air. See ya.
Yeah, that was another big thing. Correct them as mistakes. It seems like every week we had to talk about, you know, a penalty that either sustained a drive or, you know, a stupid flag that made them, you know, gave them 15 extra yards. We didn't have any of that at all today.
We actually did with the Mincy roughing the passer, gave Tennessee some extra yardage after a big catch.
It wasn't huge. I mean, it wasn't like they were about to punt, get off the field. Jaguars get the ball back.
They went in and scored, actually. On that drive. That was a drive. They put him in a little bit closer. It was after a big catch. He got tacked on after a big play, after a big pass play. So that was the only one. You figure they've done that, you know, so many times, several times in the course of a game.
Babin stayed on sides this week.
It was a pretty much clean sheet, you know, for the defense for the most part. Wasn't too many things. I would say the only black guy is the pass rush from the front four. They had absolutely no rush. You had to bring a guy out of the secondary in order to get some help to get the quarterback on the ground. So those guys, that's something they definitely have to get done, get better at.
I mean, they had one sack on the day, and it was the biggest sack of them all.
And it was by a darn corner. Come on, defensive lineman.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Steve in Jacks Beach. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Marco, not a slight to the other gentlemen on the show. I've been a big fan of Marco's for many years now.
Oh, thanks, no worries. I mean, that's what happens when you play in the NFL, you know?
No. It's, you know, I think you really have great insight into the game, and everybody on the show does. But, you know, I just want to make a quick comment as well. I've been, you know, season ticket holder since year one. And I think people are patient in terms of the expectations. What's really nice to see today, and what's I think is critical for the future of the franchise, is the effort. Both sides of the ball played as hard and as well as they could. I think everybody knows we don't have the talent we need to have, and that'll get addressed in the future. But the bottom line is, you know, it's not entertaining when there doesn't seem to be any effort. And today we saw a supreme effort, and I was very proud of the team. That's it.
Yep, thanks for the call. I mean, even if they would have ended up losing that game, the one thing you could have said, it was entertaining to the last minute. And that, we haven't had that yet this year at all. I mean, blowouts in the fourth quarter, no game that was under 10 points as a loss. I mean, it was great just to have a win and be able to talk about wins.
And especially when you figure a few weeks ago, Gus Bradley made the comment about no effort, the lack of aggressiveness and things. He pointed that out. And having a bye week, he was able to go in, see what it is, and show it to those guys and get it all corrected. Like the caller said, it's about growth. And going into those latter two games, you just didn't see a team that was growing. But here, coming out of the bye week, a lot of things were corrected. You saw some growth in this week, in this week's game. And I think, you know, seeing that, they got to be happy, not only the coaches, but also the management and things of that nature, some progression towards the type of team they want to have in the future.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking a quick break. More of your calls after this. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Right back in the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. It is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and we're taking your calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go right back to the line. Let's go to Ryan in Tallahassee. Ryan, how you doing tonight?
Oh, doing good, guys. It's good to talk to you.
It's great to talk after a win, right?
Hey, man, it's been a hard year, but I'm glad to finally see a win. It was a hard-fought win. They stuck out at the end. I actually wanted to call because I really wanted to commend publicly the defensive line, and especially Andre Branch. I know that there wasn't a whole lot of sacks, but I was watching throughout the game, and there was just constant kind of collapsing of the pocket on Fitzpatrick. Like, they just were pushing those O-linemen. And, I mean, even when you're not getting sacks, just having the guys be pushed up into your face like that made him make some decisions that were made too quickly, and it was just like that was the consistency I saw. They were just every play were going at it, which we've been lacking the pass rush all year. So I just wanted to call and say thank God for the win. And you know, the D-line, the defense impressed me all day today. Will Blackman, man, the guy's the best. I love it.
Hey, thanks for the call. And Mark, you know, as a D-lineman, I mean, the stats, they're pretty. You get to do a little dance afterwards with the sack. But it's really about disrupting the rhythm and getting close. You don't necessarily have to have a sack every time to make a big play on defense, right?
Well, I had to disagree. I don't think they were able to do that. You know, the only times that when Fitzpatrick ran, he ran because it was just nothing open. And he understood that I might as well go ahead and get a couple of yards out of it. There wasn't any rush up front. They weren't getting off the blocks. You didn't see the quarterback being moved off the spot. It was a more of time that those wide receivers for the Titans just weren't open. That secondary, I think, did a really good job of allowing, you know, forcing errors by the quarterback as opposed to the defensive line.
Yeah, maybe not the quarterback so much, but, I mean, the defensive line was huge in stopping the run.
Johnson
only had 30 yards.
Like I said, versus the run. But he was mentioned as far as the pass. There was no pass rush. I mean, I think you had mentioned something about a pass. They didn't get no pass rush. But versus the run, they were very physical. You figure the last couple games not being stout, the point of attack, the whole front seven, the linebackers, the tackling was real good today.
Well, Geno Hayes blew up today,
yeah,
man.
The tackling was really good. You know,
11 tackles for Geno Hayes, 9 of them by himself. Poslesny added another 5 solo tackles, too. I mean, the defense, I think, just played great, and that's the reason they won this week.
They played good team defense. They did enough to get it done, took advantage of the opportunities. I mean, you figure Titans just coughing the ball up. That was a big deal. That was major. Big plays.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Valerie in Arlington. Valerie, how you doing?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Valerie.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the fact that I saw some growth out there today. You know, that the team has the motto of getting better every day. I saw growth. They were able to win the game in spite of the obstacles of 2 interceptions. You know, they scored in the second half. So I was really proud of what I saw, and just wanted you to comment about that. I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. Chad Henne, he didn't help the team as much as he hurt the team. Those 2 interceptions, and then at the end of the game, not being able to sustain the drives. I mean, 2 drives that went really well, I think, was the first one in the first quarter and the first one in the third quarter. Those were big statement drives, and it really had not much to do with Chad Henne.
Not at all. You know, you figure the thing that they've struggled with coming up and, you know, I guess up into the bye week was getting off the field and other teams holding on to the ball. You know, they were able to get off the field as a defense. They had a lot of tackles for losses. They had the turnovers. That was major in changing that shift of the possession of the ball back into the offense. And by getting the ball into Maurice Jones-Drew, you get an opportunity to hold on to the ball. Not a lot of, it was distributed pretty well, but 43% of the touches went towards Maurice Jones-Drew's way. I think that was a big key to them being able to possess the ball, because the third down still, they got issues on it as far as staying on the
field. I think not just on third down issues sustaining drives. I mean, that game didn't have to be that close. If you can sustain drives towards the end, you know, you figure the Jags can pull out a 9-point win, or you know, even more than that. It was the fact that they kept giving the ball back, three and outs, or not. I mean, what was the one they were up by? I want to say 9, and then they had a 40-second time of possession on the next series when you're trying to run out the clock.
Well, that's because they, you know, the defense, the Titans, were playing 9 men in the block. They were trying to run the ball, couldn't get anything done. No fear at all about the quarterback throwing the ball, if you know, as long as they could keep him in the long yardage in that third down.
Yeah, especially without Blackman. I mean, you don't have to play. No fear. You play one-on-one all day long, put 9 men in the box, 8 men in the box the whole time to stop the run, and that's a recipe for success. And I think if the Jaguars didn't get so many takeaways, didn't have so many nice stops, this wouldn't have been, a win.
Yeah, it would have been tough.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Kevin in McClenny. Kevin, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I have a question about that when Henny went down, he slid, and he got hit by the linebacker.
By Pollard.
Yeah, they called offsetting penalties.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a...
But the holding was during the play. Once the quarterback starts to slide, the play's over.
Well, I guess...
Well, technically, it was still during... I think that's what they call that. It was during the play wasn't over yet because he was in the act of sliding. Even though he'd given himself up, the hit actually happened during the play.
It was part of the play, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's great news that Jacksonville won.
Yeah, indeed.
Hey, thanks for the call. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to David in Mandarin. David, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm happy we won. I think that we showed a lot of improvement on defense. I still think that there's a lot more to accomplish on both sides of the ball. What I'm amazed at, as I've read social media since the game has been over, is that everybody's like, oh, we won, and we're going to be fine, and we've got all these things that are done, and, you know, it's getting off the schneid and all these things. And people may have this false sense of security. What happens if we go next week and then lay an egg? And I'm worried that, you know, that we seem to have played a little bit better on the road than we do at home. And it just would appear to me that people think that just because we got the first win, it's all over with, and we're going to be winning and winning and winning. We still have plenty to do. We have stuff that we need to work on, and by no means should we take this as the elixir for everything. And I just wanted to convey that there's still plenty of time to change many of the things we still need to work on.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've been talking about this whole post game. That yes, it was a great win. Enjoyed the win, but there's still a lot of issues with this team. Issues on offense, issues in the running game, issues on the D line that still need to be addressed. But it's a good stepping stone, and it's one of those things where it can go a lot to a team's psyche when you don't have to daily answer that question: when are you guys going to get the first win? You think you're going to go 0-16? They don't have to worry about that anymore because they got that one win. So there's one less thing that they have to worry about.
I mean, it's just good because you figure, but the first 8 weeks of the season, legitimately, they played some of the toughest teams in the league. And here it is, a team I think they're a lot more, I would say, as far as the roster, a lot more comparable, the matchups and things of that nature. And they won. They came out, went to their place in a game that they needed to win, and won. That's got to feel good about for the team, the confidence of the players as they go into the next game. And that's what it's all about, continue to grow and starting to build a winning attitude. It was the first win in how many, in what, I think 13 games or somewhere on there? I think they haven't won
it's
a game
in a while. They've won two lost games in the last straight. 22, and both of those were to Tennessee.
Right. They've lost 13 straight games. So you figure with that, you need to get a win to get that winning feeling back in the locker room and how to handle it. I was happy to see they didn't come with a darn Gatorade shower for the coach for his first win. So they came out expecting to win, putting the work in, that the mindset is we won this game, yeah, this is what we worked to do. Not it was a big hoopla as to just getting one win. And that was really refreshing to see.
Yeah,
also.
And, and you could tell by Gus Bradley's post-game comments. You know, he wasn't overly excited, happy to get that first win, but it was a normal happy that you are after you win any game, whether it's your ninth win or your first win. He wasn't going overboard saying, yeah, we finally got it, big hoopla event. Mm-hmm. It was just, we got the win. Good. This is what we've been working on. Yeah, now let's move on to the next week.
I agree. The reality of what the win was, for right now for this team and where they are, it's about just getting better. And getting a win is part of the maturation process of the growth of the team. So now they see what it feels like to win, the type of work. and how you feel afterwards, I'm sure they want to feel like this again.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I bet this is going to be the nicest plane ride they've ever had on the way home after win.
Oh, it's got to feel good.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going to Mike on the West Side. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I got a problem with hitting and his throwing ability. I lost the pool today because he threw one more than I always say he's going to average as far as like getting his balls batted. Is there a note out for every NFL team that Chad Henning played volleyball during the middle of a game? Or can they work on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard guys in other teams in the league using like giant fly swatters, you know, to simulate the guys getting their hands up. But, I mean, that's the thing. If you're putting eight men in the box waiting to stop the run and the guys aren't necessarily going after the quarterback, you got the guys there. All they have to do is jump up. I mean, that's another added thing. And they're going to be playing J.J. Watt in a couple weeks, who is the king of swatting down balls.
Yeah, but Henny's got to find a way to find the open lanes to throw the ball in. He has a lot of balls batted down. And it's not and a lot of it, I'm going to have to say sometime it is his fault. It's just too many for him not to contribute to the woes of him getting balls batted down. I mean, was it three, I believe, in this game? Probably two or three in the game before. Just way too many for a quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, every coach watches film, and you find weaknesses, you find tendencies, and if, you know, that's one of his things, it's like, hey, he's got a low throw. He doesn't loft the ball enough. Make sure you get those hands up. I'm sure coaches every week are telling their teams, hey, when you're there, if you're not getting to them, you get your hands up.
That's for sure. For sure.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Taking more of your phone calls after this at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Scoreboard Show coming right back on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And it's brought to you by PRI Productions. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Jaguars get their first win of the year. Let's start talking playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
like we said before.
8-8, I mean, you get 500. That's possible.
Everybody in the division's losing this week, except for the Jags, making some ground. You never know. Stranger things have happened. I mean, get in 8-8.
8-8, they could mess around winning the division.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Shane. Shane was at the game. How you doing, man?
Good, driving back on Interstate 24 East. Nice. Coming back to Jacksonville.
Did that stadium empty out or what towards the end of that game?
Empty out in third quarter, and then fourth quarter was completely out. We had about 150 of us. I want to thank, first of all the Jags fans, both City Brigade members for coming up there in Section 317. We were nosebleeds, but we represented more than we could ever have. Everybody lost voices, man. It was awesome.
You know, we were watching the crowd, and it just seemed like half the fans looked like they were in shock half of the game. Is that the way it was out there?
That's exactly what it was. And it was, for once, it was nice to sing the goodbye song to everybody else to us. So
that's great.
It was really nice. Just wanted to say that we were up here 0-8. We still represented. And one last thing for everybody up here and everybody in Jacksonville. Duval.
Represent.
Y'all have a good one.
Good. Yeah, he didn't mention if they played any Leonard Skinner or not there.
They're gonna have to get that in there they just got to go ahead and bring it next home game.
I mean, it's good to see, you know, fans traveling out to the games. That just shows your fan base is growing if they're going out to away games when they could, you know, pretty easily get a ticket here. Is it going to away games, coming to games at home? Good sign of things to come, man.
Especially, you know, after a win and a good, strong win. That was a good win for them.
Yeah, I think the way, like we said, you know, it shouldn't have been as close as it was, but to have the intestinal fortitude to keep playing, come up with big defensive plays towards the end when they could have easily just rolled over and lost that game. You know, a lot of us were looking around like, uh-oh, here they go. They're driving. Yeah. They're coming. They're scoring way too easy. There's too much time on the clock. You know, credit to the Jaguars for just not rolling over and making some plays when they needed to make plays.
There it is. You know, especially, like I said, the defense on those two turnovers, stopping, not allowing Tennessee to get any kind of momentum and getting themselves off, you know, preventing them from scoring. Well, at least they gave up the one field goal, but they were already in field goal range. But that was huge, huge today.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Chris in Lakeland. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, guys. What's up? Fun game, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's always entertaining, especially those ones that go right down to the wire where you don't know, you know, comes down to an onside kick and an odd onside kick, to say the least.
Don't even talk to me about it, because my fiance came home and turned her computer on. It's down to the onside kick,
and my internet goes off.
Oh, baby.
I can't even hear it. But enough about that. But here's a couple things I thought were fun. What seems to be missing when I go to the Jaguars website is an out-of-towner person who's doing this from the internet and can't watch it on TV, unless I watch it from a European internet source that's going to put porn on my computer. I can't see Mercedes Lewis's catch in the first quarter where he apparently ran over people. Please tell them to post a video of that on the Jaguars website so we can watch it, because we can see all the touchdown plays. But that sounded like, to me, when I was listening to it with my eyes closed, that sounded to me like a game-changing play, the domination, the determination in that play.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as saying it was game-changing, but it was a nice tempo setter because it happened so early. You know, it was hard to change the game, but that was just a hard, I'm going to pound you in the mouth. You're trying to tackle me, just throwing a guy off of him. Like, that's what you want to see out of a big tight end. Just say, you can't tackle me. Try as much as you want. I'm going to be running over you all game long.
Yeah, especially coming right after MJD, three straight plays and pounding it into the end zone. Then to have Mercedes come out stiff-arming, knocking people around. It was definitely a tempo setter early in the game.
It's a 15-round fight, and if you come out and punch the guy right in the mouth and knock him down the first round, it's going to be in his head the rest of the game.
The other thing I was, again, listening, Geno Hayes was all over the field all day. And you mentioned some passes batted down. He batted a pass down in the first half that was very important. And the guy should have a game ball.
Oh, yeah. We mentioned him earlier in the game, or earlier in the post-game show, that he just blew up. I mean, he was all over the field. 11 total tackles for the guy.
11 team in tackles today. Yep. And he also had a forced fumble. He was very active. He was a part of that, you know, the big plays being made. I think he may have had a tackle for loss. That was another thing. Tackles for losses. These guys versus the run, they played in the backfield. And that was something you hadn't seen for several weeks with the defense. A lot of different things defensively they got better at today.
Yeah, because, you know, going into the game, you worried about Chris Johnson. He's always the number one guy to worry. And he blew up last week, had a great game. So you're like, all right, has he figured it out? Has he finally got the offensive line behind him? And is he going to just run all over us this week? And you got to credit that defense again, man. Holding them to only 30 yards, great day. Only 83 yards total as the team. For a while there, Jake Locker was their leading rusher. He had 18 yards on the day.
He did a good job, real good job defensively.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. You can join Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley November 16th at Everbank Field for the 4th annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a 1-mile fun run to benefit programs that help youth organize their full potential. Register your team at McKenziesRun.org. Right back after this on Jaguars Radio. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. The one notable towards the end of the game, Paul Posluszny going out, trying to get back in the game. Coaches had to take his helmet away to make sure he couldn't find it to get back in. Whenever you hear something like that, first thing you think of is concussion. Now, Coach Gus Bradley talked about it afterwards on our air. Said he doesn't really know yet, so we'll probably find out more tomorrow in the evaluation process. But you know the NFL is being a lot more careful when it comes to concussion. So not necessarily saying he's got something, but if they have any sort of thought, the rule is keep him out.
Keep him out. So hopefully he's all right. And I would imagine if he is okay, he'll definitely be out there.
Oh, I mean, you think that the part of the reason that they scored so easily those last couple series was because he wasn't in there, or was it just a matter that the Jags were probably playing a little bit looser to try to wind down the clock?
Well, when they were going down, a couple of plays I think may have been a reason. He may have been a reason why. They had him matched up on Chris Johnson. He couldn't keep up with him running or making the tackle.
Not many linebackers can keep up with
CJ. But then they also had, I think it was the tight end. Oh, one of the guys, you know, right in the middle of the field, it was Delaney. I think that's his last, the tight end, 82, came from San Francisco. Him also, he got caught the ball right there in the middle of the field. You saw Posluszny, you know, chasing him also. So, you know, Pos is, you know, he's a stout linebacker, especially against the run.
Definitely the leader on defense.
Yeah, but, you know, in the zone, he does a good job of fitting in where he's supposed to be and coming up with those interceptions from time to time. But matched up man-to-man versus a lot of tight ends and the running backs, he doesn't win too many of those battles.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Saqib. Saqib, how you doing, man?
What's up, boys?
Man, you got to feel good, man. What's the deal?
As y'all can see, I was screaming like a little, you know what?
That's great, man.
You know, it was a great win. Finally, I can say I'm proud of these guys. I'm always going to be proud of them, but they played lights out, man. I'm very happy.
Yeah, we're losing him. Hey, call back if you want to get that point in later, but we lost your connection on that one. But yeah, I mean, I see the effort each and every week. Even in London when they got blown out, you could tell they didn't give up. They were still going for it. And it's just finally nice to get the payoff after hard weeks of practice, you know, hard-fought games where they didn't give up, to finally get the win and have that just come through in a close game.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they finally came up a team that a lot closer as far as the personnel-wise that
you know
they match
up. But
you
know what's weird about Tennessee? I mean, going through their games, a lot of them, they could have won. I mean, I know they're 4-4, and you look at them, you're like, how do they have those four wins? But in the four losses, all but one of them, they had leads going into the second half.
Yeah,
you know, KC was the only one they got blown out. So if they got leads against every single team that they're playing, they have to be somewhat good. I mean, so it's not like the Jaguars are playing a team that had, you know, one win, two wins. This is the team that could easily have 6-7 wins at this point.
Yeah, it's the team that self-destructs. I mean, it was obvious by those different turnovers that they have. So, like I said, again, you know, Jags got an opponent that wasn't like the, you know, a contender
not
for
the
Super Bowl.
Not the Denvers and the KC.
Yeah, you know, they played some teams that legitimately, you can say, are Super Bowl contenders in those first 8 weeks. This team, not one of those.
Yeah, we got Saki back on the line. Is that phone connection a little better this time?
Yeah. It's a lot better. But check this out. They did a great job. Let me tell you this. But everybody at my work made fun of me for weeks now. I work in a pretty big place here in Jacksonville with hundreds and hundreds of employees. Everybody makes fun of me for wearing my Jags gear. And I'm going to wear a proud tomorrow, and I'm gonna make fun of them because everybody said you'd be lucky if you guys get one win. So well, you know what? We're on a winning streak right now, and I'm proud of. And I can't wait to this week. We play Arizona and win this week. It's gonna be a great thing.
It is great because you go on to get that win at home. Yeah. You want the home fans to have to finally, like, you know, like we talk about the Jaguars finally got rewarded for their hard work. Well, you want to reward the home fans for going out, buying tickets, spending their money that they could spend on whatever to come see a winner.
That's for sure.
And they're playing an Arizona team who's up and down all year.
They're about like the Tennessee Titans team. They self-destruct. They have a lot of potential as far as the players they have out there, but they'll do things to mess up a game. And the Jaguars, if they could just stay within themselves, not make the big mistakes themselves, they'll have themselves in the same position as this game with a chance to win in the fourth quarter. And that's all you want to do as a football team is be in a position to win the football game at the end of fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, looking ahead to Arizona right now, they're playing Houston at the moment. They are down 17-14. But if you go through their schedule, I mean, they lost to St. Louis. They beat Detroit, and Detroit's one of the teams buying for playoffs. Lost to New Orleans, beat Tampa Bay, who's winless, beat Carolina, who's been playing pretty well lately, and then lost to San Francisco and Seattle and a win over Atlanta, who Atlanta just looks like they gave up. So you really don't know what team you're getting week in and week out when you play them. You got the journeyman at quarterback over there, Carson Palmer.
Yeah. Like I said, in today, the front four did not do a good job of rushing. Now, when they brought the blitz, they were able to get some pressure on the quarterback. But with a quarterback like Carson Palmer that has seen a lot of different types of blitzes, bringing people out of that secondary with that young secondary versus a wide receiving core that has a lot of experience, you know, it creates some situations, some tough. You got to get pressure with the front four to keep those folks back.
Well, how can they get more pressure? I mean, you played on the D-line. Is it more that their moves aren't good enough and they got to work on those? Or is it, you know, the stunts that the defensive coordinator is calling that isn't putting them in the right position?
They're just not winning the battles. I mean, it was a lot of one-on-one blocking. When you have four guys rushing versus five, that means three of those guys are not winning their battle. You know, the guy that's getting double teamed, you kind of recognize, yeah, this guy, it's a little tougher sledding for that guy. But those other three guys, they got to create some opportunities for the quarterback to have to move around to help the guy that's being double teamed. And today they weren't able to do that. We've seen some games. They've been very, very sporadic. You know, Babin, who is thought of as being a pass rusher, has been very inconsistent
really
at pass rushing.
He only had one really good year in Tennessee, but since then, not a huge effort from him a career goes.
Right, and then Marks, you know, he's had some flashes, but they're not consistently winning those battles in the pass rush one-on-one. Versus the run, a little different case this game. Now, like I said, Miller, I think he's been struggling over the past few weeks against really good centers. He went against a rookie today, and he's supposed to win that battle. I mean, realistically, you're happy about the win, but there were some matchups they were supposed to win, especially when you're talking about a Roy Miller in the run versus a rookie. You better win that match, you know what I mean? So it's some things that they still need to work on in order to continue to prove, which today was a step towards that with getting a win.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. It's one of those things that we've been struggling with for years, not having a pass rush, and kind of brings up an interesting question. I mean, you see the kid out of Florida State playing real well in big games.
Mm-hmm.
Not available next year in the draft, but it'll probably come out the year after. Do you sit there with the number one, number two, number three pick, go after that elusive pass rusher, assuming that even though you need a quarterback, waiting for the next year when he comes out?
Well, you know, I think you get somebody immediately as a quarterback that can really affect the game. Realistically, the pass rush, you definitely need it. You need to harass the quarterback, but a pass rusher, 2-3 sacks a game out of 50-some-odd plays, I mean, that's not really a legitimate game changer unless you have a guy that can put up, you know, like DeMarcus Ware, where you legitimately have to change your offense. But, you know, I don't see anybody in college that can do that right now. I think the quarterback is definitely a needed position, because you figure if they have a quarterback in this game, someone they can feel a little bit more confident about the Jags as far as throwing the ball, oh, they probably would have knocked blew the socks off of Tennessee in this game.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking more of your phone calls after this quick break. You are listening to the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Bueller's Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller's Switch Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Taking your calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going back to the phones with Kevin. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We got cut off, but I was talking about the hit on Henny. But the same linebacker, number 31 for Tennessee, the Titans, two personal fouls against the quarterback in three plays. Don't the officials have the right to eject him? I know that he's going to get fined big time.
Yeah, you do. But it also has to be, like, really, I don't want to say illegal, but, yeah, pretty much illegal, because they all get flags for it. But you have to show pretty much intent to injure in some of those plays, like a lot of the Ndamukong Suh plays where he's been ejected for, you know, stomping on a guy or kicking him in the groin. Yeah. I mean, the first one, yeah, maybe, but you see that kind of play happen all the time. It's just he didn't get up enough. And then the second one looked more like he was just jumping in the air to block the pass and happened to land on his head.
He jumped in the air and didn't know where he was going to come down.
There wasn't necessarily that intent to injure, and I think that's why he was still in the game. But he was blowing people up left and right that whole game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, but I know he's going to lose a whole bunch of money.
Oh, I'm sure. Probably that first hit second one.
Yeah, probably the first hit. The second one was just – that wasn't really that severe. I wouldn't think.
He just kind of landed on his
head. Yeah, I know. But, you know, he has that reputation.
And that's the other thing, too. Thanks for the call. Like, if you have a reputation, they're going to be looking for that more. Like, you know, an Ndamukong Suh or Harrison.
Yeah,
you know, those kind of guys.
A
Marco Coleman. Did you get that rep as when you played?
I did get ejected one time for throwing a punch, but I didn't have a reputation. And then too, you could hit the way, you know, a lot differently then. I mean, the things that are being called penalties now, they weren't called penalties, you know, that, in my heyday.
That second penalty on Pollard probably wouldn't have been a penalty.
I don't think
today.
Not at all, because I thought that was pretty ticky tack, even, you know.
He landed on his head, and that's what they called contact to the head.
But he was in the air, and where else could he have gone? He couldn't, once he was got, you know, airborne, you know, it's almost like flopping.
You can't fly, you know, you can't avoid it once you're in the air.
As a quarterback, you'd even flop. You could throw yourself into the darn guy, and next thing you know, you get a penalty.
It's like one of those fouls in basketball. You got the guy in the air, you jump right into him.
With the arm flopping. And so, you know, like I said, it was a – the rules were a little bit more lenient, so you could have got away with a few more things. I don't know about the first one hitting the quarterback. We slide, it would have been the same deal.
Yeah, because was going down, and he could have easily jumped over him
that's
moved
been a
there
for a long time. That was obvious. That was a dumb play by Pollard.
Jaguars get the win, 29-27. Nice to finally talk about a win. Try to make it two in a row next week when they take on Arizona. We kind of mentioned Arizona a little bit before. How they're one of those teams that, you know, they're one week they could show up and look great. Next week they could show up and look horrible. But, again, beginning of the year when you're penciling in wins and losses, this was one of those games that you said the Jaguars have a chance in. So Maybe they get their second win. Yeah. That would be great. You don't want to see them take a step back. Even if they don't end up winning, you want to see the progress. You want to see the defense still playing well. You want to see some more progress with Henny, even though you know he's probably not going to be the quarterback of the future. You want to see those interceptions cut down. You want to see Maurice Jones-Drew keeping those runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way he started that game, you thought easily getting 100 yards. Only ended up with 41. Kind of get away from him a little bit. Yeah. And you needed him at the end with the lead. You want to milk that clock.
They have to find a way to still get more productive, more yardage out of the run when they stack the box. Because in years past, Maurice was able to get that yardage. And again, that blocking from the fullback and the tight end. Mercedes was good to see him back, you know, looking more physical finally. Kind of looks like he's kind of getting back into a groove. And Phillip Rye is healthy. He's felt all season. That was a difference. So as they get that going, they got to feel pretty confident about the way they did get. They played aggressively and dictate the tempo. Yeah. So
if they play like they did in the first half against Arizona, they'll get the win. The second half, that was kind of the theme. It's just people disappearing. You didn't see Maurice Jones-Drew breaking off runs. You didn't see too much of Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, and shorts either.
The shorts had like two catches for 42 yards. You know, one of them was the big one. So, yeah, it's that consistency that I think everybody's looking for. Got to thank everybody for calling in today. We will be back again next week. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. The pregame show starts at 10 a.m. Or I'm sorry, the Publix tailgate show starts at 10 a.m. Pregame at 12, kickoffs at 1. We take the air about an hour after the game ends, taking your calls every week at 355-NFL1 and 355-6351. Follow me on Twitter, jgray_WOKV. Marco, you make any tweets yet?
No tweets. I'm tweetless.
Follow him anyway.
I just have to get a time to go to get me a new phone. I need a new phone. That's my problem.
Blame it on the phone.
I blame it on the device.
Don't blame the person. Blame his tools. Good carpenters don't blame for his tools, right? Thanks for listening to us. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.